It's 12:30. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News. The topic of health care found its way into the second debate for the 13th Congressional District, even when panelists were asking about other topics. The three 13th District candidates met Wednesday night in Springfield. Republican Rodney Davis of Taylorville favors a market-based approach of selling health insurance across state lines. He believes that plan would make the market more competitive. Davis says having the ability to choose providers allowed for proper diagnosis of his wife, who's a colon cancer survivor. But Bloomington Democrat David Gill, an emergency room physician, says a market-based approach doesn't mean much to people who can't afford private health insurance.
What I would ask, I can't think of anything more hypocritical than watching that save your wife's life and denying that then to all the American citizens that could use that very thing and have our country be healthier and wealthier in the process.
Davis responded by saying he wants all Americans to be able to choose their own medical destiny, but refutes the idea that a House measure Gill supports seeks Medicare for all.
It is not Medicare for all. It would destroy Medicare as we know. And you've even said it in your own words, David. This is a plan that would create a bureaucracy that will cost $1.7 trillion per year and wouldn't allow new clinics, new doctor's offices to be sited without federal government approval.
Davis also pledges he'll vote to repeal the Affordable Care Act, calling it a $2.6 trillion boondoggle. Independent candidate John Hartman simply chose to endorse the legislation, saying it will cover 32 million more Americans.
After decades of trying to get a comprehensive health care bill in this country, we've got one. I'm afraid if we repeal it, we'll have nothing again, and we'll go backwards on those 32 million Americans, and that is unconscionable.
The third and final debate between the 13th District candidates will be Thursday, November 1st at 7 p.m. here at WILL. It will be carried live on AM 580, WILL-TV, and WCIX-TV. The video will also be streamed live at will.illinois.edu. Indiana's three candidates for governor are scheduled to face off in Fort Wayne in the final of their three debates before next month's election. Republican Mike Pence, Democrat John Gregg, and Libertarian Rupert Bonham are expected to take part tonight in the hour-long in-studio debate at PBS station WFWA-TV. Embattled Indiana GOP Senate candidate Richard Murdoch says he apologizes if anyone misunderstood his comments during Tuesday's debate, in which he said pregnancy resulting from rape was something God intended to happen. But as Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, he said Wednesday he won't apologize for his beliefs.
With occasional tears welling up in his eyes, Richard Murdoch stood before a bank of cameras at state Republican Party headquarters Wednesday and described his experience since the debate as humbling. He says his apology is only if anyone misinterpreted what he said in the debate.
For speaking from my heart, from speaking from the deepest level of my faith, I cannot apologize. I would be less than faithful to my faith if I said anything other than, life is precious. I believe it is a gift from God.
A number of leading Republicans, including presidential candidate Mitt Romney, have distanced themselves from Murdoch's remarks, but Murdoch says he knows there will be people in his own party who disagree with him.
This is a policy issue in the sense of where you draw the line of exceptions, and I understand his position, and I'm sure he understands mine.
A Murdoch campaign appearance featuring New Hampshire Senator Kelly Ayotte was canceled Wednesday, and Murdoch says he's had no personal contact with the Romney campaign and will continue to air television ads featuring the former Massachusetts governor offering an endorsement of Murdoch's run for the Senate. I'm Brandon Smith.
The Indiana Bureau of Motor Vehicles says its license branches will extend their hours around Election Day to issue photo ID cards and driver's licenses that might be needed for identification at polling places. It says most branches will be open Monday, November 5th from 8:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Tuesday, November 6th from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. License branches will only process new amended or replacement ID cards and renewed amended or replacement driver's licenses and learner permits. Champaign County Clerk Gordy Holton is defending his office's decision to require some people to cast a ballot by mail when they register to vote during Illinois' grace period. Illinois Public Media's Jeff Bossert reports.
Holton's comments come after a friend of a campaign volunteer for Democratic opponent Charlie Smythe, who had recently moved to the area, was required to wait on voting when registering at the clerk's office Wednesday. David Collier was told by Holton's staff he could register but couldn't cast his ballot on the spot.
Because people were waiting that long that they needed to verify their addresses and make sure that they had to do the mail-in vote. It had to go through the post office.
The Republican Holton says those coming into his office during the grace period leading up to the election should go through the same process as everyone else.
My opinion as the election authority is just because someone has waited until the last possible moment to register to vote, vote doesn't mean we get to skip the address verification process. So we mail an absentee ballot and they vote by mail.
Smythe says Holton is erring too far on the side of caution, adding an additional hurdle to the voting process, citing 40 Illinois counties that allow grace period registrants. Holton notes all ballots received by mail that are postmarked by Election Day will be counted, along with provisional ballots. I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media.
Throughout the presidential campaign, much has been made about cutting the federal budget, but the author of a new report on Illinois' finances says those federal cuts would have a significant effect on state budgets. Amanda Vinicky reports.
The National State Budget Crisis Task Force gives a dismal view of Illinois' finances. Deteriorating bridges and roads, climbing pension debt and health care costs, and no rainy day fund to pull the state through emergencies. Task Force co-chair Dick Ravitch says in some ways Illinois is worse off, like with pensions. In other ways, it's in the same boat as other states. He says that boat's having trouble staying afloat because states in the federal government aren't coordinating sensibly. He says with proposals from both parties that cut federal costs by shoving them onto states.
They are committing states, local governments, to a more rapid path to insolvency.
Ravitch, a former Democratic lieutenant governor of New York, says people don't realize that state government is largely responsible for education, public safety, and infrastructure. As the national leadership looks to address the federal deficit issue,
they bloody well better not forget to measure the impact that their ideas have on state and local governments.
I'm Amanda Vinicky.
The worst drought in decades is hanging on in Illinois. Today's update from the U.S. Drought Monitor shows about 92% of Illinois rated as abnormally dry and more than 60% in some form of drought. The worst conditions continue to be in north central and northwest parts of the state. State corrections officials say a fire heavily damaged a prison kitchen in far southern Illinois last night. Hardin County work camp inmates were moved from their living quarters to a nearby gym while fire crews worked to extinguish the flames. No one was hurt. A Canadian court says the former owner of the Chicago Sun-Times cannot make an in-person appearance before a panel that's deciding whether to strip him of Canada's highest civilian honor. Former media mogul Conrad Black was convicted of fraud in a Chicago federal court and spent 42 months in prison. In sports, Chicago Blackhawks forward Patrick Kane says his decision to join a Swiss hockey team does not mean he's giving up hope that the NHL lockout will be resolved. Kane says he'll play for EHC Biel while the NHL and the players' union work on a new collective bargaining agreement. The 23-year-old says he'll be happy to be playing and he'll be in game shape if an NHL deal is reached. Pro sports lockouts and strikes, including the current NHL lockout, were the subject of today's focus. You can hear the rebroadcast tonight at 8 on AM 580 or anytime at will.illinois.edu, where you can always find other news headlines. I'm Craig Cohen, Illinois Public Media News.